Can you talk a little bit about your own areas of clinical research interests?
Yeah, most of my research is now focusing on the use of allogeneic transplant for lymphomas and other diseases, and I've focused predominantly on lymphoma, myeloma, and CLL, the B-cell malignancies. And we've seen surprising activity in some lymphomas. I'll hit some of those highlights. I mean, so the major observations are that in mantle cell lymphoma, as we talked earlier, I believe that this can be a curative therapy. Unlike the natural history of mantle cell or even follicular lymphoma, it appears that the graft versus lymphoma effects are capable of eradicating or controlling those residual cells, and the progression-free survival curves are almost flat after 2 to 3 years, with virtually no relapses in either mantle cell or in low-grade lymphoma. So I've always classified mantle cell as an aggressive lymphoma, but it behaves much more like an indolent lymphoma, at least in terms of allotransplant, and much more like follicular lymphoma. Both of those diseases, relapses are very infrequent, and studies both from our center and from the MD Anderson have shown very good results in patients with chemosensitive disease coming into transplant. So the important properties, if you're referring patients for transplant, you want to do it before they're completely refractory to everything, because it's helpful to be able to cytoreduce the disease to a reasonable low burden prior to transplant. Because if you think about it, nothing much is happening from the conditioning regimen. The regimen provides little to no anti-tumor effect. The only anti-tumor effect of the transplant is from this new immune system, which then goes and attacks the residual cells. So for that period of a couple months after the transplant, you're not really controlling their disease in any way. And until you can get an active immune system, which takes a couple months going, you're not going to get any anti-tumor effect. So patients with rapidly proliferative, bulky disease will grow right through the transplant in general. All that said, we've had tremendous results in mantle cell and the indolent lymphomas. If you get to aggressive lymphomas, like large cell, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, to my surprise, this is also active, but there you really have to get the patient back into a near complete remission to have any hope of the graft versus tumor effect being able to catch up and eradicate the malignancy before it comes back. But we have a paper just now submitted, which again shows about a 40% progression-free survival and overall survival in patients. And the risk factors there are having chemosensitive disease and relatively low tumor bulk at the time of transplant.
How about CLL?
Yeah, CLL is, again, one of the areas where we've seen a tremendous anti-tumor effect. And we have another paper, a follow-up of our original paper, that's under review at this time. Interestingly, when we published this, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, with an additional 3 to 4 years of follow-up of people who were in a complete remission at the time of our last report, we had virtually no events. There were 15% of patients had some event, but the relapses were rare, essentially, from a CR. So in our latest analysis, there are two major factors that contribute to poor outcome of transplant. The first one was bulky disease, and that was defined as lymph nodes greater than 5 centimeters in size. So if you had a bulky disease, then you had a much higher risk of relapse and a lower progression-free survival. In contrast, if you did not have bulky disease, then the outcome was much better. The second factor was the presence of comorbidities in the patient. And Mohamed Sarar in our group has developed a hematopoietic specific comorbidity index, which measures comorbidities using pulmonary function tests and EKGs, et cetera, coming into the transplant. And if you have none of those comorbidities and non-bulky disease, then your chance of progression-free survival and survival is around 70% at 5 years. And those curves are pretty much flat. So for 4 fludarabine refractory CLL, right now our data suggests that you have about a 50% survival at 5 years, and the majority of those patients will stay in complete remission if they achieve it. What we have to figure out is what's the best timing to use this kind of approach. Our studies in Seattle have restricted patients to having to be fludarabine refractory before I will offer them a transplant. That's what we've traditionally done. And that's defined as no response to a fludarabine-containing regimen or progression within a year. So that's a little different than some other of the definitions. But if you have patients that are truly fludarabine refractory, the MD Anderson data would suggest median survival is less than a year. So that's just the best thing you can throw at them. Alemtuzumab, whatever, repeat salvage therapy, median survival is a year. So in that setting, we're getting median survivals now of 5 years with transplant. And again, the risks of transplant are almost identical to what I discussed earlier with mantle cell. It's 25%. There's about a 25% non-relapse mortality. About 3/4 of that is really transplant-related causes. And there's about a 50% overall survival and progression-free survival.